There's so much in the book of James that there is no way that we can cover all, meaning the first chapter, we could cover all of that in one session. There is too much, all the challenges. But let me break it down this way about the book of James, the first chapter. And so you have an idea of what this all looks like. In verse 1, it talks about the recipient of the letter, and that is the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 2 to 4, it talks about tested and triumph. Verse 5 to 8, it talks about God giving and man's receiving. Verse 9 through 11, it talks about as each man has needs. And eventually, I'm not going to see anything anymore here. Verse 12, it talks about the crown of life. Verse 13 to 15, it talks about putting the blame on God. And 16 to 18, oh, there we go. God constancy for good. Verse 19 to 27 talks about listening and doing. And I'm going to focus on the listening and doing part. Pastor Don is going to address all the rest of the above in the following message to come. And so we'll put that on him. And we do well in listening. We have no problem with that. But not so good in doing what it asks us to do or what we should be doing. One of the areas of the Christian life that we have most problem with is our speech. What comes out of our mouth? And oftentimes we wonder, and now they put me back in darkness again. oftentimes we wonder, why is that so? Why we have problem, the words that come out of our mouth? Parents, you remember these words. You will say to your daughter, watch your mouth. Or say to your son, watch what you say. Or somebody may be in a room and somebody may say, hey, be careful what you say. We have children in the room. And in Psalms 19 and verse 14, it says, may the words of my mouth, and this is not in the PowerPoint, may the words in my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Our words are very, very important. This is so important that we cannot really miss it. And we need to pay attention to what comes out of our mouth. In James, let's look at the scripture this morning. We still can have some more light on the pulpit, Josh. It came on and then it went back off. There we go. Okay, James 1, verse 19, and to the end of the chapter. It says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgot what he looks like. But the man who looks into the mirror, looks intently and in perfect law that gives freedom, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone consider himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein in his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God or Father accept as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the word. Let's take a closer look at what James is talking about being a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you, with all the overview that we saw on the video, all the challenges, all the victories, everything else that we can think about, is all at the very, that one verse of scripture at the very beginning that says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to challenge you to read the book of James. It's not a very long book. But after each chapter, I want you to say to yourself that I am a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say it over and over again. I am a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so James proudly declares that as a servant of God. He says, I belong to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am not ashamed of it, that I am a servant. The psalmist David puts it this way. Psalm 25 and verse 3, it says, no one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without a cause. In Psalms 31 and verse 1, it says, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 1:16. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Let's take a closer look at what James is talking about being or speaking to be a servant of God. What does it really mean to be a servant of God? What does it really imply to be a servant of God? And I would like to share some thoughts from William Barclay. And first of all, it implies absolute obedience. It implies absolute obedience. It is a word of a man who thinks not of his privileges, but of his duties, not of his rights, but of his obligation. It is a word of a man who has lost himself in the service of God. And that should be us. It is a word of a man who has literally denied himself, who has said no to himself, that he may ever say yes to God. It also implies absolute loyalty. It is the word of a man who has no interests of his own because he is utterly pledged to God. What he does for God. His own right and his own preference do not enter into his calculation. His loyalty is to God. And also it implies a certain pride. James was very prideful of his position. Let's see if we could fix that a little bit. It was the title by which the greatest of the Old Testament were known. And that is by the pride. People like Moses and Daniel, Joshua and Caleb, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job, Isaiah. So James sets himself in the great succession of those who found their freedom and their peace and their glory in perfect submission to the will of God. The only greatness to which the Christian can ever aspire is the greatness of being the slave for technology, and when you think you just have it right, and okay, this is my first time with this one here. Okay, are we good? Okay, can you hear me, everybody? All right. So the only greatness in which the Christian can ever aspire is the greatness of being the slave or the servant of God. Throughout the book of James, everything that follows after that is based on that one great principle that James says, that I am a servant and I am a slave of God. Everything linked towards all of that that James is talking about. So what we need to figure out now is that let's look at what the scripture has to say in terms of all of this. First of all, James is saying that I want you to be quick to listen. In chapter 1 and verse 19, he says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen." Now, do you figure out that that's the reason why God created us with two ears and one mouth? So we could listen twice as much as we speak? Maybe that has something to do with it. Someone penned these words and says, "Be swift to hear the word that thou mayest understand. If thou hast understanding, answer thy neighbor. If not, lay thy hand upon thy mouth, lest thou be surprised in an unskillful word and be confounded." I think that that's good advice. What does the scripture say when he says, "My dear brothers," and also "my dear sisters"? And what he's saying is that James is talking to believers. He's talking to people who share the same faith. And at Hope Community Church, we share the same faith. Then when he says, "My dear brothers and my dear sisters, I want you to take note of this." This is very important. This is super important. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to ignore it. As a matter of fact, I want you to underline it. I want you to highlight it. James is saying, be quick to listen. Everyone should listen. Don't be distracted by the things around you. Give your undivided attention. And that's what James is talking about. Give me all that you have. When he says, be quick to listen, because if you are not listening what James is saying or asking us to do, we can miss it. When someone walks into a room, maybe a supervisor or a coach, and he says, "Okay, listen up, guys. All talking stop." Those who are on the side or by a corner somewhere, they all gather in. And now they're focusing on the person up in front who says, "Listen up." And that's what James is asking us and saying us to do. He says, be quick to listen, that when something happens, you're not thinking or asking if answer, but you are ready to listen to what that person has to say. And James is saying, be quick to listen. He says, be slow to speak. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be slow to speak. You know the times in your life when you had something to say, and you say to yourself, everyone is going to listen to what I say because this is important. At least it's important to you. And you are determined to say what you have to say, not thinking that maybe I should be slow to speak, as James is talking about. The book of Proverbs is full of perils of hasty speech. In Proverbs 10:9, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. In Proverbs 13 and verse 3, he says, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. In Proverbs 17 and verse 28, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. There is more hope for a fool than for him. Folks, if we are slow to speak, that means that we are listening. And if we are listening, we are going to hear what the other person is saying to us. When we talk too much and we listen too little, we communicate to others that what we think, that our ideas are more important than their ideas. James wisely advises us to reverse that role, that we should be slow to speak. And also in this passage, James is talking about, I want you to be slow to become angry. Slow to become angry. My dear brothers, in verse 19, the latter part, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be slow to become angry. Does that mean that we should never become angry at all in whatever situation or circumstances there is? We have a right to become angry against all the tyrannies of sin. We have a right to become angry against the rapist, against the child molester. We have a right to become angry against the murderer and the cold-blooded killer. But we should not become angry when we fail to win an argument or when we feel offended or neglected. So James says, be slow to become angry. The anger that erupts when our egos are bruised and we say, I am hurt, my opinions are not being heard. Anger does not bring about the righteous life. The scripture says that God desires for us to live a righteous life, a godly life, live out the new creation that has been brought about in our hearts and life, model Christ. When we become angry, we misalign ourselves with the will of God. Uncontrolled anger leads to sin. And folks, we know ourselves by now that when it's going to get to a point, let's say we call it the boiling point, and at that level you know that there is no more control. You are going to lose it. You're going to blow the top off or whatever. And whenever that happens, and whenever we know that it's getting to that point and it's going to get to where you cannot control it, stop, walk away, take a walk somewhere, talk to the trees outside, sing with the birds, whatever, and then come back and see what happens. But uncontrolled anger leads to sin. And that's what we do not want to happen to us. So what is James' appeal then to all of this? In verse 21, James says, therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James advises us, basically what this verse is saying, advises us to get rid of all that is wrong in our lives. Get rid of all that is contrary to the word of God. Get rid of everything that go against your Christian walk and your Christian belief. James is saying that all those things are wrong, and you should get rid of them, and you should not go about having those things having control in your life. They should be put behind us. Accept the salvation message that you have received through the word, because that can save you. And folks, the more we dwell in the word of God and what James is asking us to do, to focus on becoming a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be grounded, we would become stronger, and all that's follow is that the light in us is going to shine forth, and it will take away all those things that are trying to come and hinder our growth. James was sold out to God and to Jesus Christ. And for that reason, he can write the way he's writing to us today, not only to the 12 tribes, but writing to us, to Hope Community Church, and telling us and giving us what we need to do. And then he says, be doers of the word. In James 1, 22 to 25. Let me share that with you. Verse 1, 22 to 25. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks into the mirror, and after looking at the mirror goes away immediately and forget what he looks like. But a man who looks intently into the perfect law gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. It's important for us to listen to the word, but the word also says that we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. To do what it says, to put into action what the word of God says. And so what I would like to leave with you today, the very key principle of all that James is asking us to do, and that will become part of our lives and make it a lot easier, when James says, I am a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I am a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I can do all these things, and I can be a conqueror. I can be stronger because I am a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look into our own hearts and life today, and if we know if there is anything within us that hinders us from becoming the kind of servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will bring it to him and say, Lord, take it away. If this is an hindrance, I want it out of my life, because I want to be a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know more than anyone else what that something might be. Whatever it is, it might be there for a long time, but God is showing you through his Holy Spirit that it does not belong there, because it will hinder you for a closer walk with you. Let us pray.
And as we search our heart today, think of the challenges, the inspiration, the victories, the joys, everything that James is talking about. When James proudly declares that he is a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the key, folks. And whatever God is pointing out to you this morning, take it to Him in prayer. Because you want to be your best for Him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time spent here this morning. We thank You for Your word. And we just pray that Your Holy Spirit will continue to be our guide and our teacher. Show us, O God, what we need to focus on in order to be a true servant, which we want. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name. Amen. We are also going to take part of the Lord's Supper this morning. And at Hope Community Church, we do.